Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. I've always found that very interesting, and for several different reasons, and we'll share them with you today. And I would like to ask the question today, what do you see? It's very important that we understand and know the Word of God. That is because it's so prevalent for us to know what we see. Sometimes it's not real. Sometimes it's artificial, and especially today in this world, there's so much that is not real that we see with our eyes. But a Christian has to look at things differently than the world does. So let me back up just a little bit. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you what it says. And in this particular passage of Scripture, we find the call goes out to Elisha. Elijah was instructed by God to call or to go to Elisha and perform the ceremony that would be Elijah's call to the ministry. So he was instructed by God, and he went and he found Elisha plowing in a field with 12 yoke of oxen. And that was the beginning of Elisha's call to the ministry. And you understand now that in this world, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And what that means is the Lord made it very plain to us that whosoever will, let him come unto me. But so many people hear that, but never answer the call. And we have this philosophy in the world today that if you just hear the call, that's enough. No, not nearly enough. Because he said, there are those who will be chosen. The chosen ones are the ones that are called and respond to the call. When you respond to the call, you become one of his, and you're a chosen one at that time. So Elisha is responding to the call. And so this is the beginning of his calling to the ministry. And Elijah cast his mantle, which was a long garment that they wore back then, upon Elisha. And this was his initial call to the ministry. And the Bible history tells us that there was a school of the prophets nearby. But God chose, isn't this something? God chose a plowboy instead of going to the school of the prophets to get a minister. Now, this shows us how God's way is so different from our ways. Today, you cannot become an ordained minister unless you have a degree from a college, a master's degree. That would leave some of us out. But when you called of God, now God doesn't put any premium on ignorance. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't go to college, don't get educated and get a good job and make good money. No. We're talking about what God sees in us. And when God calls us and we respond to that call, we don't need a degree. And the problem with the world in their ministries today is simply that many of those who are called are not really called. And they don't end up being chosen for this reason. Many of the professional preachers today are just that. That's a profession to them. And that's different from the call of God. God's call is to a person's heart. Oh. I was reminded of this in the back a little while ago. We were talking about that, and I said, when God when Moses died and Jacob took over the call, he told him these words. He said, hide thy word in your heart. He didn't tell Joshua to put it in his mind. He said, put it in your heart. Because when the word of God is put in your heart, then it's there forever. You keep it there, and it's always there when you need. God calls a person's heart, and man calls him by the credentials that he has. And in religion today, you got to have that religious theology before you can become a preacher. And that's the problem with the world in religions today, a profession instead of a calling. But God, when we're called, God wants us to see something. And when we respond to the call, he wants us to see more. Because once you respond to the call and you become a born-again believer, that's just the beginning. That's not the end of what God wants you to be or wants you to do. That's just the beginning. That's proven out right here. When Elisha was called, that was just the beginning for him. He recognized that, and as we read to you a while ago, he knew of Elijah's great miracles that he had performed, and he made that request. And Elijah's response was, if you see, if you see me when I go, but what does that mean? That means you got to stay with me. You've got to be there. Elisha made a point of being there. He followed Elijah. He was with him at all times, everywhere he went, because he wanted to be sure that he was there when Elijah went. You'll have to excuse me. And he was there when Elijah was called up in the chariot of fire. And so in all of that, we must know how important it is for us to see. That little old word, see. And then there's another question that comes here, nestled right in the middle of all of it. And that's the answer that Elijah gave to Jesus, to Elisha. And he said, if you see me. We have to see things a little different today. We have to see things with a spiritual eye and not a physical eye. This world is so bad now, till if you watch everything that goes on, most of it will be evil. Somebody asked me the other day, why is this world the way it is? I said, there's one word, evil. And evil has graduated from a little bit of evil to a lot of evil to a lot of evil to now all evil. Because what we see, we always wondered years ago how much worse it could be. Now we're seeing how much worse it could be. And all the things that are produced today are usually produced for the devil, and he uses it. Remember, excuse me. Well, I can't get that frog out of my throat. Y'all talk among yourselves for a minute. I'll try to do this. No, it's fine. So this was the question of how bad did Elisha want what Elijah had? If you see me, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want what I have Huh? A double portion of what I have. How bad do you want it? The question goes to the church today. How bad do you want it? Goes to the individual today. How bad do you want it? That question still rings true in the heart of God. How bad do you want this? Are you willing to leave it all behind? Are you willing to stay with me at all costs? I think that's a question we all have to answer to the Lord. Are you willing to say no to the entertainment and the enticement of this world? Are you willing to obey my commands? A lot of questions that God has for us. How bad do you want it? Are you willing to be faithful in all things? You ask a hard thing, Elijah said. But it is not hard when we find ourselves in the position that Elisha found himself in. I'll be there when you go. I'll be by your side. I'm sure there were times when Elijah told Elisha, you stay here while I go over there. And Elisha said, oh, no. No, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to sleep next to you. I'm going to eat next to you. Because I don't know when the Lord's going to take you, but I'm going to be there. How bad do you want it? He wanted it. He made that sacrifice to follow Elijah, and he wanted the promises that were given to him. Now the next question is for us today. How bad as individuals do we want it? Are we willing to make those sacrifices? How bad do you want to see Jesus? How bad do you want to see miracles of healing, deliverance, and most important, salvation? How bad do you want it? That's the question. And the next question is, what do you see? Elisha proved how bad he wanted it because he followed Elijah. He followed him for this purpose, so I could see. I could see. Do you see the miracle working power of God in your situation? We hear testimonies of it all the time. We see and we hear of that power. Or do you see something else? Sadly, so many Christians see something else. Do you see victory or defeat? Do you see joy or depression? Do you see the Lord as the prophet saw him, high and lifted up? Or is God just another word to you? Is Jesus just a prophet? How bad do you want it? Especially in today's world. Because there's so much enticement. So much entertainment. So many things try to affect our lives in so many ways. So we have to ask ourselves, how bad do I want it? What will I give up? Now, you don't have to give up anything to serve God. Because the things you had, you can't take with you anyway. So you're not really giving up anything. You're gaining. Don't worry about your friends that you had in the world. As soon as they find out you're saved, poof, that's it. You don't have to leave them. They done left you. You didn't have any friends out there. No. Jesus is the only friend, real friend we have. We have friends here on earth, but the one that sticks closer than a brother is Jesus. He's our friend. So we have to do what he tells us to do, and then following him, we have to see what he wants us to see. We have to see our world filled with a great joy and peace instead of seeing it with sorrow and grief and disappointment and failure. You see, your attitude about the Bible and God's word has a lot to do with how you serve him. Yeah. That means you can't pick and choose what just fits your life. You got to believe it all. Because if you break one piece of the law, the Bible says you've broken it all. So we live under the law of grace and mercy and liberty from sin and other things that the devil would do to us. So we don't want to break that law. We want to continue to walk in it. We have to walk close to the Lord in order to stay there. And now, I think this is probably the most important question that we have to ask. What does God see in you? And we need to ponder that a little while. What does God see in us? We know he is the all-seeing eye. So he sees us a lot more than we see him. He keeps an eye on us. Do you see that miracle working power? The Lord asked the question of the people who came out to see John the Baptist. You remember that? He said, what have you come out here to see? A man shaking like a reed in the wind? He said, you may see him as a man who does not look like very much because he's got a beard and a shaggy hair and an old sheepskin for clothes, and he just don't look like much. So if that's what you came to see, you're in trouble. He don't look like much. But he said, let me tell you what I see. See, that's how it's so important for you to know how God sees you. God didn't see John the Baptist as that old scrawny guy out there eating locusts and honey in the desert. He saw something else in him. And he was called to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he was the one that announced Jesus Christ at the Jordan, if you remember, during the baptism. God said, I see my servant abounding in faith and carrying on the work. Does God see us that way? Does he see us carrying on the work, being faithful? That's what he wants to see in us. Don't worry about what people see in you. Oh, if you do that, you're in trouble. You might think you're the finest Christian on earth, but it won't be long till you'll find somebody who doesn't agree with you. Always. But you can't worry about that. Some will see the good in you. Some will see the bad. Some of your friends will turn on you. But only worry about what God sees in you. Remember, you're a Christian first. Remember that in every situation you get into. Before you get into a heated argument with anyone, I'm going to have to sit down in a little while. Remember what you are. You're a born-again believer, and remember that Jesus, God, is watching you. And you get the opportunity to let God see what you really are in bad circumstances. So we have to remember that, because it's so easy for the flesh to take over. In a spur, the flesh wants to answer, boom, like that. The Spirit tells, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Remember, you're a Christian first. And the Scripture even tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath. Someone wants to argue with you and you just give them a soft answer, they're going to think you're nuts and they're going to leave. Because they think they won the argument. No. Nobody ever wins an argument. Both of them get tired and leave. But they still have the same thing in their mind. Nobody wins that argument. So if you're a born-again believer, you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to be what God sees in you, what he wants you to be. God sees great things for you. Bible says that. He says he sees great things for us. He sees a conqueror. He sees a victor. He sees an overcomer, a man or a woman filled with the power of God. That's what God sees. No matter what the world says about you, this is what's important. He sees you with the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, God sees you after this life is finished. Then he sees you in glory. Huh? Standing there. That's when you have really overcome. When you've conquered the last enemy in this world, God sees you as an overcomer. A conqueror, a real conqueror. Elisha saw Elijah go in the chariot of fire. Elijah's mantle fell on Elisha just as he had asked, because he proved his faithfulness. Does the mantle fall on us today? Have we proved our faithfulness to the Lord? Oh, it's easy to be faithful to the things of this world. Satan's got all that looking good. To the world, it all looks good. To the Christian, it should look sad. Because it's all made of the world. And so we have to understand that. The mantle has to fall on us, or it has fallen on us, if we are called and chosen by God. Now, what do we do? Now, Elijah's gone. Elisha is here, has the mantle with all the promises of God. He's the man now. He's got everything, and he's got twice as much as Elijah had. Do you know, if you study this, you'll find out Elisha had more, had double the amount of miracles as Elijah did. Just what he asked for. A double portion. Yeah. Elisha performed twice as many miracles. But the last one is really special, because it's done after he's dead. Oh. How does a person do miracles after he's dead? We're going to find out right here. Pay attention. It's recorded in 2 Kings 13, 2 through 21. First, let me tell you a little story. Keep you guessing about that. Because of things we see and how it works to us. There was a man in a graveyard, kneeling by a grave, and he was crying out, "Why did you die? Why did you die?" Over and over. And there was a fellow that passed by and heard that. So he stopped and he went over to him, and the man kept crying, "Why did you die?" And he said to the man that was crying, he said, "Well, this must have been somebody real close to you." The man never answered him. He just kept saying, "Why did you die? Why did you die?" And the man that was passing by still asked some more questions. "This must have been somebody you really liked, or some of your loved ones, or somebody that you really cared about. Why did you die? Why did you die?" He kept asking, he kept asking that question. After a while, he stopped asking the question, and the man said, "Will you tell me who this is that you're sorry he died?" And the man looked at him and said, "Yes, it was my wife's first husband." Got nothing to do with Elijah. Just thought of it, poof, like that. I guess I should have taken that one out, too. But eventually, Elisha died. They buried him in his sepulcher. And a band of Moabites had already invaded the land of Israel where Elijah was buried. One of their own, the Israelites, they had a dead man that they were going to bury. And they were in the process of burying him close to the sepulcher that Elisha was buried in, when they saw a band of men coming toward them. And of course, fear gripped them, because they were afraid of the Moabites, and they thought maybe they were coming after them. And as the band of Moabites got closer, they saw this band coming, and they were so afraid that they cast the dead man into Elisha's grave, or his sepulcher. And when the dead man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Holy cow. How would you like to see that in a funeral home? Mm-mm. Show me where they want another door, huh? Now, if those Israelites were not running when they saw that band of men coming, you can bet your sweet bippy they were running when that man came alive. They were choking each other to death with heel dust. That was his final miracle. You see how you affect people's lives even when you're gone? Huh? No, God may not do this to you or for you, but you leave a legacy behind. What are the people going to see in your life when you're gone? Oh, some will see all the good, some will see all the bad. But what did God see? He saw you made whole by the blood of the Lamb, standing before the throne of God, hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye in to the praises of the Lord." He has that present for us. This was the final miracle attributed to Elisha. So the question goes back to the beginning. What do you see? Or do you want this following Christ bad enough so that what you see is God's word? What you see is the miracles performed by the Holy Spirit. You can see that, but you can't see that until you first see it with your spiritual eye. Because it's the spirit that God gives his faith to. We just enact it in our physical bodies. The Bible says we were, every man and woman that was born into this world is born with a measure of faith. Everybody. Sinners, we were all sinners anyway. Sinners are what? They're born with that measure of faith. Now, the important thing is when you become at the age of accountability and you hear the word of God and you do the things that God wants you to do or you hear them, what do you do with that faith? What did Elisha do with that faith? He said, "I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be there. I'm going to see you when you go." What do we do with that faith? Huh? I'm afraid there's more Christians in the world today that have never increased their faith. You say, how do you do that? The Bible says you show your faith by your actions. The Bible even proves that. Jesus was healing people in the house one day. It was all crowded and nobody else could get in. These guys came along with a sick friend, couldn't get in the door, so they got on the rooftop, cut a hole in the roof and let him in there. How do you think the homeowner felt? Didn't matter to them, huh? And what did Jesus say? I saw their faith. What did he see? These men in action, believing that if they put their friend where Jesus was, he'd be healed. So don't think that God doesn't see your faith. Every time you obey the command of God, your faith is in action. Now the world has faith too. We all know that. And we all have some of that worldly faith. I'm talking about when you get in your house at night and it's dark, you flip on the switch. You don't sit there and wait a little while. I wonder if this electricity is going to work. Huh? No, you flip the switch and go on about your business. What have you got? You got faith in an electric company if you paid your bill. Anything you do, you have to exercise some of this faith that we have as humans to believe this is going to work, to believe this is going to do right. To believe you can do this, that's totally different from your faith that God says I've given you.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to drive.